This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump visiting areas of North Carolina still recovering after hurricanes and later travels to Los Angeles to see wildfire damage. In Asheville, the president hinted that FEMA may go away and aid would shift to states to handle. ABC's Mary Alice Parks explained.
There's a lot of people who agree that there should be a way to cut through bureaucracy, get aid, get disaster relief to people on the ground faster. A lot of former FEMA directors from both sides of the aisle of Democrat and Republican administrations who say absolutely. Absolutely. Help give states more funding to give out themselves. So I think that there is a lot of room probably for bipartisan changes.
A full confirmation vote set for tonight for Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth. Republicans can only lose three votes without Democratic support. A federal judge barred Oath Keepers founder Stuart Rhodes from entering Washington, D.C. without a court's approval. President Trump commuted the far-right leader's sentence in a seditious conspiracy conviction related to the January 6th attacks. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For News from the Center, 107.7 WRCE, I'm Jimmy Cuska. After lawmakers approved a bill to overhaul the state's reading curriculum, Tony Evers signed it into law, but the governor told the state legislature on Wednesday during the State of the State address that the funding has yet to be released by the Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
In 2023, lawmakers passed a bill to overhaul how the state teaches reading in public schools. The new system is commonly referred to as the science of reading. It's backed by research and focuses more on phonics. It includes new curriculum and materials and hiring literacy coaches for school districts to use when they need to. Schools started this shift for students in 4K through third grade in the fall, but they're doing it without the money they were expecting from the legislature. When it was passed, Act 20 included $50 million to switch to this new method, but lawmakers on the Joint Finance Committee have not released that money. If the $50 million for the new reading materials isn't released by June 30th, it'll go into the state surplus, which is already massive at $4 billion. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Because Act 20 is law, school districts around the state have to pay for the materials and training on their own without any reimbursement by the state. The State Education Convention wrapped up Friday with a keynote speech by Governor Tony Evers, who echoed many of the statements he made during his State of the State address earlier in the week. That included a call for additional mental health funding for children and a demand for the state legislature's Joint Finance Committee to release $50 million in already approved funding for Act 20, the state's mandated overhaul of public school reading programs. The convention itself featured a number of breakout sessions tied to topics like school finance and referendums, as nearly 100 districts are on the ballot this spring across the state asking local taxpayers for more money to favor teachers, operations, and facilities. Other popular topics at this year's convention included school safety initiatives, strategies for hiring and retention, communication and marketing, and artificial intelligence. In addition to breakouts, the state's top educators were also recognized during the convention. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Bucks trounced the Heat. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Miami Heat 125-96 at Fiserv Forum. The win, despite some challenges, getting back to Milwaukee from New Orleans, where the Bucks were stuck in a hotel during a record-breaking snowstorm. The start time to last night's game had to be pushed back an hour. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
Showing up for a game 2 hours before the game off an airplane. My guess is our science team would probably say not the healthiest thing to do. On the plane, we showed the guys their matchups. I told them to be prepared.
NFL, the Buffalo Bills face the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC title game Sunday at 5:30 from Arrowhead. Do the referees give the Chiefs a break when calling penalties?
I don't feel that way. I mean, I just try to play football at the end of the day. The referees are doing their best to call the game as fair and as proper as they possibly can. And all you can do is go out there and play the game that you love as hard as you can and live with the results. And so that's what we preach here in Kansas City.
That's Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Increasing clouds today with a bit of light snow possible late in the day. Highs near 20. Look for that breeze to pick up as well. For tonight, continued breezy with still a bit of light snow possible early. Mostly cloudy skies otherwise with lows in the upper teens. Right now, it's 15 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in the state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, James Santel will discuss how to defend the Constitution. Also, how many pardoned J6ers violently attacked police officers, and what's in the RFK and MLK Jr. assassination files? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Pump day!
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zomers, our producer and engineer, and riding the camel a bit late into the week. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on this Friday, TGIF, January 24th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite here as we end the week. Kind of overcast skies, temperatures are moderating. Get out, enjoy the great natural outdoors all across the state of Wisconsin this weekend. You'll feel better. Take a walk in one of our great state parks. I'm not sure if there's enough snow up north yet to go snowmobiling, but maybe cross-country skiing. And Zomers, for those listening, it is not Wednesday.
It is not Wednesday. Look, you know, I do my best to keep the camel corralled all week, but right. Sometimes he just gets too excited.
He's excited for the weekend. Well, it's good to have you along. And by the way, today's show is unofficially brought to you by Clorox Wipes. There is the crud, the norovirus. People are sick around here, and knock on an empty head here and throw some salt over my shoulder and say an extra prayer at church this week. And you and I have remained healthy, Zomers. The secret is to get in as late as possible and leave as soon as the show is over.
Pretty much. Hey, we're just trying to stay healthy here.
That's right. Exactly. Big show today coming up at the bottom of the hour. Brady Ewing, three-time Big Ten champion of the Wisconsin Badger football team, spent 3 years in the NFL. And now, of course, from our hometown, my hometown, Richland Center, he's going to be on with us at 12:30, as per usual, every other Friday, talking a little bit about the NFL playoffs coming up this weekend. The draft, of course, coming to Wisconsin and Green Bay in April. He knows all about that. Should be a great time had by all. Then in hour two, it's What's Worse. I can't wait for this one. It involves television commercials, particularly those in Wisconsin. So that's going to be What's Worse. And then at 1:30, our old friend Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's World, will be along to give us a humorous look at the week in review. But Zomers, not Jim McMahon, it's the coach of the Michigan team, Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh. His dad used to say, you know, who's better or who lives better than we do? Nobody. Who's luckier than us? Nobody, because our lieutenant governor of the state of Wisconsin, Sarah Rodriguez, is back with us within a couple of weeks here. We are so thankful and honored to have her. She is appearing in her official capacity from her office just up the street in the Wisconsin State Capitol. Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez, a pleasure. Happy TGIF Friday to you.
Happy Friday to you, too. I appreciate you having me.
It is always our pleasure. Speaking of weekends, I know you love Wisconsin in your capacity as lieutenant governor. You get out and travel around. Are there any winter spots that you really enjoy going to, you and your family, around the state of Wisconsin?
So I do some snowshoeing. I have snowshoes and I go to some of the state parks to be able to do that. So I really, really enjoy that, particularly around the Delafield area, a little bit west of us. And so I like to do that. I do also, I'm an archery instructor and sometimes I have fun going, I know. And I don't shoot at moving things because partially because because of skill level, but also
I bet you're being modest, but go ahead.
So I will get out sometimes in our state parks and do that too. And if there's not too much snow, it's kind of fun to be able to go out and do that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, we're so blessed, as we said at the top of the show, to have a state where, you know, so many different activities across the state of Wisconsin. We don't have to go far to enjoy all of those. I want to get into a little bit of the Governor Tony Evers' State of the State address earlier this week. Of course, we carried that here on Civic Media in its entirety, along with Republican response from Speaker Robin Voss. I thought I've sat through a lot of these. I helped put some of them together back when I worked in the legislature, not directly for the governor, but in the responses and whatnot. It was the longest one, I understand, from Associated Press reporter Scott Bauer. I thought it was one of his better ones. I'm not just saying that because you were here. It was meaty, but what I liked about it was that, to me, as a former Republican who left the party in 2011, it didn't really seem, to me at least, all that controversial. I mean, you know, when you declare, the governor declared 2025 the year of the kid, it seems like there should be some common ground there, Lieutenant Governor.
Yeah, what I heard, number one, I thought he did a really great job, because what I heard from the governor and his speech is he was talking about things that he really passionately cares about. Mm-hmm. And we know that he's an educator. We know he's worked within education his entire career. He cares about kids. And that is what he was talking about during his State of the State address. And you're right. So many of it should be a bipartisan solutions, because many of the things he was talking about, Wisconsinites want us to be able to do. And whether that's addressing the mental health of our kids, whether that's making sure they're safe at school, making sure our kids aren't hungry. I mean, these are pretty basic things that we know that Wisconsinite wants and want us to be able to work together to move those things forward.
Speaking of the outdoors a couple of minutes ago, I thought it was a poignant moment and so important that Governor Evers, the first thing he did when he got into talking about gun reforms in this state and mental health, he singled out and he said that Wisconsin has a rich heritage of supporting hunting and trapping and fishing in this state, and he doesn't want anything to change that. I thought that was really the right way to start. And then he got into, you know, talking about things like background checks, red flag laws, which means that people are in danger of harming themselves or others, that they can either turn their weapons in themselves or that they, if necessary, they can be taken away until they get themselves a better mental health state. And then restoring the 48-hour waiting period in Wisconsin to buy a firearm. As someone who owns firearms, I used to do a lot of gun deer hunting. I still go bird hunting, pheasant and turkey. As a sportsman, those don't seem unreasonable to me. And I think that most people that hunt would agree.
And they do. When you ask them, when we survey people across Wisconsin, they do agree with that. You have gun owners that think it's reasonable to have background checks. You have gun owners that think it's reasonable to have a waiting period. And we know, so I'm a nurse by background. I was an ER nurse for a long time. And, you know, suicide and homicide is something that we know is associated with owning a firearm. And if we have those 48 hours between purchasing and being able to pick up that firearm, we know it reduces suicide rates. We know it reduces homicides. So it's just, those really are common sense solutions.
And I think for you know, people in my former party that represent perhaps more rural areas of the state, look, I can tell you where I'm from, and I know you have roots back in Richland County, there have been, unfortunately, several deaths in the last year, death by suicide. In our rural communities, our ag producers, our farmers are facing extraordinary financial difficulty. And unfortunately, what doesn't get talked about, I know Pam Yonke at Midwest Farm Report has, I know that you and the governor have, but what doesn't get enough airtime is the mental health struggles of our ag community.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's heartbreaking. And we need to be more open about these things. The governor has put in $300 million for mental health services, whether that's for kids within the school system, but a real emphasis on mental health across Wisconsin. And we know that COVID exacerbated some of those issues, whether it was in our school kids or off in some of our more rural communities that were more isolated. And so, again, these are common sense type of things that we can use our dollars for on the state level to be able to provide services that people need.
And what I thought was interesting, like your take on this, is that, look, you know, I don't want to say I get it because I don't, but if our Republican friends on the other side of the aisle don't want to go with what I think are sensible reform laws for firearms, because what we hear a lot is, well, it all comes down to mental health. Well, it turns out the governor's got you covered on that as well, because he wants to put in, you know, $66 million for victims of crime, number one, and then this, as you said, for mental health, and particularly for kids in our public and private schools. It would seem to me that's where you want to go then.
Right. Like you, either one, right? Like we can do both, right? We can do some common sense legislation relative to firearms. But if you truly believe that it is simply a mental health issue, and it's always more complicated than that, well, then let's put some funding in that. Let's make sure that the kids have the services that they need. Let's make sure that our rural farmers are getting mental health services. I had done a healthcare workforce task force this last year, and one of the things that came up over and over again is that we do not have enough mental health providers. And so being able to put funding into that to provide the services, to get more folks within Wisconsin being able to provide mental health and counseling, that's really, really important for making sure that people can do what they need to do and to take care of their families. We know that if you do not take care of your mental health, all sorts of other things are going to be a struggle within your life, whether that's being able to afford housing, whether that's being able to take care of yourself in other ways. Are you taking your blood pressure medication on time? These things we know happen. So if we can address some of these issues relative to mental health, those are going to be able to have absolutely exponential effects in all sorts of other areas. You'll be able to work more hours. There's an economic benefit to taking care of people's mental health. So those are the kind of things that I'm hopeful for as we go into this budget negotiating season, that the Republicans on the other side of the aisle are going to take a very serious look at and be able to make sure that those things are approved in the governor's budget.
About 2.5 minutes left before our first break here. I thought perhaps the best line of Governor Evers' speech this week was, quote, "Wisconsinites don't expect us to be perfect, but they do expect us to be pragmatic," unquote. I think that sums up. I mean, most Wisconsinites are like, you know, I get it. You know, politicians are going to politic, but geez, at least they should get something done. Just do something, get something done. And on when it comes to, you know, prescription drugs and child care, how many times as we've traveled with this show around the state do we hear from urban Milwaukee to rural Amory, child care is a huge issue, and also for particularly our seniors, the amount of drugs they pay in prescription drugs, that's life-changing, and the governor is proposing something there.
Absolutely. So there are, you know, trying to reduce costs for folks, whether that's reduce the cost of food by providing free meals within the school system for kids so that they aren't hungry and they can just focus on learning. Reducing the cost of prescription drugs, like you talked about, so reducing the cost of healthcare overall, and then reducing the cost of housing. That's another thing that has come up when I've been across Wisconsin. We know that there's a shortage of housing. We know that there's a shortage of housing that people can't afford. And so that is also part of the governor's proposal, is how do we affect people's pocketbook?
Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez is our guest. Stay with us. We're going to come back and talk more to her, with her, about the governor's state of the state, and also a personal side, as some of these national issues have landed here in the state of Wisconsin. It's the Todd Allball Show for a TGIF Friday, along with Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th president of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration.
Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Selling your cattle is easy with American Foods Group, a family-owned company bringing you the best prices and expertise right from the dairy, ranch, feed yard, or local market. Call today at 800-345-0293 or email info@americanfoodsgroup.com.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now I know, now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 21 now past the hour of 12 noon on this TGIF edition, Friday, January 24th, 2025. Glad to have you along. Zommers on the board. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, former Wisconsin Badger Brady Ewing, three-time Big Ten champion, spent 3 years in the NFL, talking a little bit about the NFL playoffs and also having the draft in a couple, 3 months here. Up in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin. And then Peter Rapine is in an hour two with a humorous look at the week in review. Right now, we are honored to have the Lieutenant Governor of the state of Wisconsin, Sarah Rodriguez, joining us from her office in the state capitol just up the street. Quickly, Governor, before we go back to the serious stuff, are you excited about the draft? Are they going to get you into the draft?
Oh, I would love to. I'm not sure, though. I mean, I'm very, very excited about the draft. I know Green Bay is very excited about the draft. I can't wait to see what is going to happen in Green Bay. I think it's great.
Yeah, they had great tourism and great for the economy. And we'll talk more about that as it gets a little bit closer. Back to Governor Tony Evers' State of the State address, which we carried along with the Republican response this week here on Civic Media. I want to play a clip. We are now into the end of week one of the Donald Trump 2.0 presidency. It has been eventful, to say the least, and the governor addressed it a little bit in his State of the State. Here's Governor Evers from this week.
Let's agree to be honest about the fact that the story of our state's success today is told in the labor of over 3 million Wisconsinites, including tens of thousands of workers whose only transgression to date was not having the good fortune of being born in this country. Let's agree that we can continue to be a state that enforces our laws when and if they are broken, but still embraces our shared history and all those who have helped write our Wisconsin story, from our native nations to the generations of immigrants who came after. And let's agree that if you work, obey the law, pay taxes, and contribute to our communities and play by the rules just like everyone else, you should have a fair shot at continuing to pursue the American dream.
Governor Tony Evers in the State of the State address this week. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. Look, we believe in truthfulness and transparency on this show. There are a lot of reasons I admire and respect you and like you. You grew up in attachments to my hometown, home county, Richland County, in a dairy farm. You're an RN like my aunt. but you and I also share something unique, or not unique, but similar. My two godsons, their mom, Miko Madri, great word. So there's no word in English, just a singular word to say the parents of my godsons. Where in Spanish, you get to say just comadre, right? But she's from El Salvador originally. So my godsons are half Salvadoran and Latino. You married into a Latino family. I think that any time that we can share personal stories, it breaks down barriers. If you don't mind, if I can ask you to talk a little bit personally about what this issue means to you.
Well, you're right. So I married into a man who grew up in Mexico, and he's a naturalized citizen, and he's more than that, right? So he works in IT. He's a great father to our two kids. He works within the community. And I really appreciate that Governor Evers talked about the contributions of immigrants within Wisconsin, because pretty much all of us, and including me, like my background is Norwegian, German, English. We all came here however many generations ago as immigrants. And those are the kind of things that make Wisconsin special. It makes us a welcoming place to be. And when we have that rhetoric coming out of the federal government, it can be really scary for communities. And I've since go to a minority majority school where that's a dual language program, and they're hearing rumors about what's happening out within the community. Some of them, many of them are not true, but we know communities are scared. And so they don't want to get caught up by just the way that they look. And we want to make sure that Wisconsin is a welcoming place. And again, repeating what Governor Evers says, we are also a nation of laws. And so we want to make sure that people are following those laws, that we have safe communities, but we want to be able to welcome folks.
One of my favorite all-time political cartoons was of two Native Americans on shore watching the Mayflower come into the bay, and one said to the other, "What do you think? Do we need an immigration policy?" I mean, unless you're Native, we've all, to your point, we all come from somewhere. Absolutely. I appreciate you sharing that. It gives you, as a lawmaker, as a Wisconsin leader, I think empathy, compassion, and understanding, and someone who can bridge, because I think so many people in our communities across Wisconsin, maybe you've never had the opportunity to have a person of color or a Latino or whatever be a friend or hang out with you. And so we get looped into these stereotypes, and it doesn't matter what kind of minority you are. Once you know someone, you find out, oh, geez, they're just human, just like you and me.
Right. It's hard to demonize people you know, right? It's hard to demonize people that you know and then you like.
Right.
And so I think if we expand our circle and we understand where people are coming from and why they might be scared within the community, those are the kind of things we need to be having those conversations. What do we want? What are the values that we want to be able to embrace here in Wisconsin?
Left about 2.5 minutes for you. I want to talk a little bit about, because you and the governor have been very adamant going around the state of Wisconsin. I know the governor's been to all 72 counties every term he's been in office. You get up there a lot. And I know you've heard about Wisconsinites struggling economically, and you hear that. Yep.
I do. When I go all across the state, I honestly don't care where I'm at. If I am in urban areas, rural areas, on tribal lands, suburban areas, we know that people have some struggles economically, and we shouldn't ignore that, which is why, like I was saying earlier, that's what the governor wants to focus on. Because we know if we focus on our kids, what's good for our kids is good for the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And so focusing on some of those three areas that people are talking to us about, whether it's the cost of food and making sure that kids don't go hungry, whether it's the cost of healthcare, lowering those prescription costs, or the cost of housing. These are three areas that would have direct impact on people's pocketbooks. And the governor has said multiple times before, he is absolutely willing to give relief on taxes for individuals as long as it's focused not on the wealthiest among us, but on the people who could actually need it.
Yeah. Sarah Rodriguez, our Lieutenant Governor of the state of Wisconsin, on the side of working people, on the side of just good old Wisconsinites, and a cheerleader for our state. That's what we need more of, Lieutenant Governor. We love it that you do that for us. So thank you. We appreciate your time and appreciate you being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure. Welcome back anytime, Sarah Rodriguez. Stay with us. Brady Ewing is next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is now well known that Donald Trump intends to impose 25% tariffs on our northern and southern neighbors. But what does this mean for agriculture? I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and Nick Paulson, a professor of ag economics at the University of Illinois, who also spent time as a senior economist on the Council of Economic Advisors during Trump's last term, is here to explain what the implications of these tariffs could have on U.S. producers.
The challenge with agriculture is, you know, the U.S. is, we do rely so heavily for a lot of our major ag commodities on export markets, which unfortunately makes them a prime target for some of that retaliatory action. When we put in place tariffs on other countries, you know, ag is an easy target for them to put tariffs on our exports to them. And so even if agriculture is not part of the broader policy objectives of that trade policy, it unfortunately a lot of times feels the brunt of some of the negative consequences.
Paulson says that if these extreme tariffs do pass, then the U.S. producers are going to be looking towards the USDA and other government sources for help in payments. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at the midday markets right after this.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
Come on along. We're headed to the Canadian Rockies. I'm Pam Yonke, inviting you to join me July 26th through August 4th. We'll begin at Calgary's Living History Museum. Then it's off to Banff for a guided tour. Next, we board a Via Rail train for phenomenal views of the Canadian Rockies. Off to Vancouver for award-winning wines at Lulu Island Winery. Then we ferry to Vancouver Island to visit a bison ranch and a dairy farm. Go to holidayvacations.com, enter keyword Pam to get a brochure or watch a travel show.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's take a look at what the markets are doing. The losses are creeping back into the grain again today as cash corn is down one at 488 and three quarters, and new crop corn is down one and a half at 462 and three quarters. March soybeans are down six at 1059 and a half, while November soybeans are down five and a half at 1047 and three quarters. March wheat is down eight and a half at 545 and a half, while July wheat is down seven and a quarter at 571. Milk sees a tiny bit of an upswing, though, as February classroom milk contracts are up 15 cents at 1930 a hundredweight, and March contracts are up one at 1903 a hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Increasing clouds today with a bit of light snow possible late in the day. Highs near 20. Look for that breeze to pick up as well. For tonight, continued breezy with still a bit of light snow possible early. Mostly cloudy skies otherwise with lows in the upper teens. Current temperature, 16 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch, and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
The dismantling of diversity, equity, and inclusion under Donald Trump has already begun. On the next show, we'll talk with Dr. Eva Martinez-Paulus about what DEI really is.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
To this day, when I hear that song, I see you standing there on that lawn. Discount shades, store-bought tan, flip-flops and cut-off jeans. Somewhere between that setting sun, I'm on fire, I'm born to run. You looked at me and I was done. We're just getting started. I was
welcome back to the Todd Lamont Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 34 minutes past the hour on 12 noon on this Friday, January 24th, 2025. Zomer's on the board. Speaking of 34s, our favorite 34, Mr. Brady Ewing, who played for the Wisconsin Badger football team, spent 3 years, or was a three-time Big Ten champion with the Badgers, then spent 3 years in the NFL for Atlanta and Jacksonville, respectively. We come from the same hometown there, RC. That's where we find Brady back in good old Southwest Wisconsin. Brady, great to have you back on the show. How the heck are you, my friend?
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks for having me, Todd. I'm doing good.
Good, good.
Good day out of the bitter cold and a little bit of snow on the ground. So it's feeling like winter in Wisconsin a little bit more right now, I guess.
Well, and we were joking around a little bit. Your wonderful brother, Brandon, who is on the show occasionally as well, he is in Florida. And as it turns out, he is in a worse winter climate than you are. So is it that you're the smarter brother right now?
That's right. Yeah, I'm the smarter brother hanging out Wisconsin in January. And yeah, he sent a picture to me this morning, you know, from Florida. And, you know, people were all bundled up with hats and coats on and down into like the 40 degrees and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think they're really enjoying it down there. And, you know, the weather's been a bit of a curveball, but for a Wisconsinite and what you're typically used to, it's still pretty nice down there.
Yeah, it really is. Well, let's get into a couple of, and this is my favorite type of segment that we didn't really plan anything out before. So it really is a genuine conversation. Brady has no idea where we're going to go, which makes it a lot of fun, at least for me.
Put me on the spot.
I'm sorry. But these are softballs, Brady. Don't worry about it. One of my favorite parts of last year was I got to hang out with you and your wonderful wife and your four boys and your mom and dad. And we all went down to AmFam Field and we took in a Brewer game. And your boys were just so into it, which made me so happy. And we got to see, as we looked over, the great and now late Bob Uecker making one of his last calls in the game. And that was just a special day. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on the passing of Wisconsin native, of course, former Major League Baseball player and longtime announcer for the Brewers, 54 years behind the mic for the Brewers, passing away this past week at the age of 90.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, thoughts and everything go out to Bob's family. And there's so many people that, myself included, when you think of Brewer baseball, you think of Bob Uecker. You know, he transcends generations, and you know, he's the voice of the team. And so I think getting goosebumps, you know, talking about it, but it, you know, it's unfortunate, but his memory and his legacy will continue to live on through many, many people. And yeah, just thankful for his commitment. I don't necessarily want to draw the parallels, but I think of, for me, Matt LaPay as well, you know, the voice of the Wisconsin Badgers. And, you know, those guys are just, we're so fortunate with Wisconsin sports to have guys like those that have had long histories and just such a storied tradition. And then you look at somebody like Phil Mee and Richland Center. So I just feel like you're surrounded with people that just do an amazing job portraying this game out to you and really embodying what Wisconsin and our sports teams and our communities are all about.
See, this is why if you have a radio show, you want to have Brady Ewing on it, because literally the next thing I had written down under there is to follow up and ask you, as someone who spent 4 years playing for the Badgers, I mean, one of the kind of the cool sidebar stories, cool in just a guy who didn't play professional sports or even college sports, but the relationship between Bob Uecker and, in particular, Christian Yelich, they were very, very close. And so many of the guys on that team of the Brewers were so close to Bob Uecker. And I wanted to ask you, spending 4 years with the Badger, Matt LaPay, Mike Lucas, now Towsier and Brian Butch on the basketball side, these guys travel with the teams. And how close do you guys as players get with these announcers?
Yeah, I think it varies individual by individual, just like any relationship. But I, you know, Matt and I can speak to that relationship. You know, we were fortunate to go to a basketball practice as a family around the New Year holiday break time. And Matt was there, just happened to be taken in practice. And I don't think a lot of people realize how much time investment it takes, whether you're in your type of a role, Todd, or if you're, you know, somebody that's broadcasting these games on a regular basis, both on radio and TV. You know, Matt said he goes to practice, I think, 2 to 3 times a week just to take in the latest on, you know, what's going on with the team, you know, the game planning for specific opponents. And so that part of it was fascinating. But to actually answer your question, you do develop a relationship with them. They're around practice. They're around the games. You know, you're doing interviews with them. And, you know, much like anybody else, they're just a person that's been blessed with tremendous opportunities and work really hard to perfect their craft. And I think anybody can respect that. And most of the time, they've been great people, whether that's, you know, LaPay. I didn't have a chance to ever meet Uecker in person, but clearly had great relationships with their players and any of the professional teams I've been around. You know, just great people. They're part of the team. They're part of the organization. And they have their role and responsibility in school to all be on that same mission together.
Yeah, I mean, our regular listeners of this show know that I went to college in Platteville, and I had the honor of being the color commentator for most Pioneer sports for a little over 3 years, and got Bo Ryan was the head coach there for the basketball team at the time, and got to spend 3 years traveling with Coach Ryan and that team, which incidentally included Greg Gard in his last 2 years playing and his first year as a graduate assistant coach under Bo. And it's just, you know, I'm never going to be the Uecker or Matt LaPay level, but just the privilege of being part of a program and telling these guys stories and seeing how hard you all, I think that's the thing that a lot of people don't realize. They see you on the field or on the court once a week or a couple of times a week. They don't realize how much you're studying on the bus or the plane or when you get there, and the stress that you all feel away from family and friends, and your support network becomes the trainer, the coaches, and just the people. It's a family thing.
It really is. I mean, yeah, whether you're a coach or player, it is truly a family atmosphere just because of the sheer time commitment you have, let alone, you know, the challenges, the triumphs, and, you know, the journey you're on together that kind of bond you together and forge you together, you know, to have a friendship bond or a teammate bond or a colleague bond, you know, like no other. And honestly, that's part of what I miss the most about sports is the fact that you face challenges. You get some of that in the work life and family, but the challenges you face with the team, you know, the time you put in both studying film in the weight room, spring ball, fall camp, just it's truly a year-round thing. And, you know, you develop a bond with people and you go shoulder to shoulder with them, and you're from totally different backgrounds. They might be from the other part, you know, other part of the world or a different part of the country, but you're able to develop bonds with them because you're in the trenches together, you're sweating and bleeding together, as cliche as that is. And it's just, it's pretty special. And you don't get that everywhere. I think we could use a little bit more of that in our world today, for sure.
Totally agree. I said in one of my last broadcasts at Platteville with my former broadcasting partner, Kevin O'Connor, I said, I hope for goodness that I have a job later on in life that pays more, because I wasn't getting paid anything. And I said, I might have a job that's more prestigious. I'm not sure about that. But I said, I doubt whether I'll ever have a job that's as much fun and one that I enjoyed more than my 3.5 years traveling with Pioneer Sports. And as much as I enjoy this job, I can't say it's more fun than those 3 years traveling with Pioneer Sports. It's a unique opportunity, and I'm so thankful that I had that and so thankful that you had it as well. Tony Zimmerman chimes in on YouTube, says, I heard that a lot. You miss the locker room more than the game, Brady.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what I was alluding to. You miss the people, you miss the camaraderie. And again, challenges pop up, rifts pop up, just like any quote unquote family. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you go out on the field and you're representing something bigger than yourself, you know, whether that be the university or state of Wisconsin, the name on the back of your jersey, whatever is personal to you that you represent. At the end of the day, like, you're still doing it as a team, and you need every single unit and every single person on that 11-man unit to go execute, and it's pretty darn fun.
We're talking with Brady Ewing, three-time Big Ten champion with Wisconsin Badger football team, as a running back. We need more running backs in America. That's what we need right now in college football. And also spent 3 years in the NFL. Speaking of the league, Brady, we have got it down to four. It's the Kansas City Chiefs and the Bills. Once again, the Buffalo Bills and the AFC and the Dirty Birds, the Philadelphia Phillies and the Washington Commanders in the NFC. What do you think of the two matchups?
I'm really excited for them, but Todd, we gotta go back to our predictions a couple weeks ago, though. don't forget about that. We predicted the Packer game, and I just want to make sure. It does hurt that they lost, but I just want to recap that a little bit.
One of us said they would lose. The other one said they would win. And yes, surprise, surprise, the guy who spent time in the NFL was right.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Let that go now. I just had to make sure we brought that up.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I appreciate
it. I don't know if I would have if it was the other way. Maybe you
right?
would have.
Right. No, that's fair. That's fair. I thought maybe they could pull it out by a field goal, but boy, the Pack just, I think they were just at the end of the rope. I mean, I just think that, we got, 4 minutes left here before the first break, but talk a little bit about having spent, you know, winning three Big Ten championships. You know how to win, obviously, and then 3 years in the league. Sometimes teams, you know, you hit that postseason or the end of the season, you got a lot of juice and everything's just working right. And then there are teams right. when it's just the opposite.
Yeah, I think the Packers fell on that. You know, it definitely did, where they had some great momentum. I'd say the, you know, back, you know, three quarters of the season. And then the last couple games, you know, started to fall off. They started to have a few different injuries, you know, had a couple things that didn't go their way. Obviously, there's some schematic things that we could talk more about, but mm-hmm. you're 100% right. And momentum in a season that is so long, like, you know, 16, 17 games, whatever it is now in the NFL, it plays a huge role. I mean, you look at other teams that are still playing that might have struggled at the beginning of the year, but then slow and steadily ramped up, you know, had some breaks as far as not having as many injuries as some other teams. And, you know, now they're peaking where wouldn't necessarily have seen them at this point in somebody, you know, like the Commanders or otherwise. So, That plays such a big role, especially in such a long season like they are in the NFL.
2 minutes before the break, Brady. How about Jaden Daniels, the rookie quarterback for the Washington Commanders? If they can beat Philadelphia this weekend, he'll be the first rookie QB to lead his team to a Super Bowl. That would be amazing.
It would be. I'm really excited for that game to see, you know, Hurts and Daniels go head to head from a quarterback perspective. You know, they're always under the spotlight, and then, you know, some great skill players there. I'm thinking the Eagles are going to edge it out. I feel like they got some great momentum.
Saquon Barkley is just a machine right now. I mean, there's a guy hitting his stride.
Oh my gosh. That guy is a freak. I mean, just a freak athlete,
right?
You know, some of the injuries he's had in the past, some of the things he can do physically, from hurdling guys to, you know, pushing weight in the squat rack, and then to be able to actually translate it to being, you know, having vision, having, you know, kind of that forethought as he's running the ball. He's just incredibly fun to watch.
Yeah.
So I'm picking the Eagles in that one, just edging them out, maybe all like right. 28-24.
Ooh, all right, a close one.
How about yourself?
Yeah, my heart says Washington, my head says Philly, but I hope my heart wins out. Kansas City Bills, Chiefs going for the third time, third straight Super Bowl, or is Josh Allen and the Bills going to be able to break through?
I'm thinking the Bills. I don't know if that's more of a hopeful pick coming from my heart a little bit, because the Chiefs have such a rich tradition right now of, you know, having success at this level, and the Bills have a little bit too. But I'm picking the Bills in that game, 35-31.
Wow, look at Brady Ewing. Bills and Phillies. Philly is what he has in the Super Bowl. We'll check back in with him and see how that all goes. Stay with us. Going to ask him about the Big Ten and also whatever else comes up here on the Todd Allball Show with Brady Ewing. You're listening to Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison, home of the Big Win and Madison Casino Guru, is transforming guests into winners. Making an ordinary day into a big win day is easy with a 95% average payout. And with over 140 daily jackpots, the number of people winning has never been bigger. So what are you waiting for? Escape to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison for your next big win. Ho-Chunk
Gaming Madison. There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. News from the Center, WRCE.
Well, I had a long face this Sammy. Why'd you come dragging in here? Sit down, boy, before you hurt yourself, and I'll let you bend my ear.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 9 before the hour of 1 o'clock on Friday, January 24th. Zommer's on the board, three-time Big Ten champion for the Wisconsin Badger football team. One of the great running backs of all time for the Badgers to go up and down the field at Camp Randall. Spent 3 years in the NFL. A husband, a father of four boys. He's working on a starting five for the Badgers in about 15 years. Brady Ewing on the phone. How are you, my friend?
Doing good. Glad we made it back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, nice intro. You had a little more color there today. Thanks for that.
We try. Brady Ewing joins us via phone from our mutual hometown of Richland Center, Wisconsin. All right, lots to get to, Brady, here. The Badger basketball team spent, and a few people know this, you were actually recruited by Bo Ryan, and you had to make a choice, play basketball or football. You could have been on the hardwoods there at the Kohl Center.
I could have, yeah. They were looking at me as a potential walk-on. You know, Greg Gard, who was an assistant at the time, came over to a couple games here at Richland Center at the high school. Didn't ever play my best games when he was there. I think I had some nerves at that time, but... still extended that opportunity and chose to pursue the turf side of things at Wisconsin more so than the hardwood. And, just awesome experiences and grateful for the relationships I was able to develop through that and my time at UW with Greg and the basketball staff and be able to go check out practice and things like that and continue those relationships. Pretty darn cool.
Well, it just shows you what a talented guy you are. You're a multifaceted person. You can do it all. The Badgers basketball team traveled out west this week. They split out there. They got a win over USC. They actually helped. I thought this was really cool. The team took time a day out there or at least half a day, to work at a food pantry and help out with relief for the wildfires out there. I thought that was really cool. And then they took on UCLA, came up a couple of points short in a game they probably should have won. But Mick Cronin, the UCLA coach, in the press conference before the Wisconsin game, was asked by a reporter about the fact that now that UCLA is in the Big Ten, formerly the Pac-12, but now these four Pac-12 teams have to travel east more often. He was salty about it, Brady. We're going to play you part of the response here from Coach Cronin. See what you think.
So much has been made about you guys going east. You just came back from prolonged East Coast trip. Yeah. I'm wondering, have you seen anything from the teams that have to come out here and stay out here? Is there any kind of balance with that in terms of the wear and tear and just what you've seen on the court?
Wear and tear on them?
Yeah.
Is that a joke? Please tell me that's a joke.
Is it even comparable, is essentially what I'm trying to say.
Have you ever looked at the NBA stats and what the gamblers and all those people do on West versus East? Talk to Eric Musselman, ask him that question, who coached in the NBA. Good luck, West going east. Okay, and ask me UCLA's record east of the Mississippi in the last 20 years. Because when I got the job, I looked it up for scheduling purposes. It's under 500, okay? We have to go back four times. Oh, the Big Ten teams get to come to Los Angeles where it's 70 degrees one time a year. They don't even have to switch hotels. We're in the same, we're 12 miles apart. Are you kidding me? Please tell me you're kidding me. I mean, is this a plan? Is this a plan of question?
it goes on from there, Brady. But wow, Coach Cronin for UCLA, wow. Not happy to be in the Big Ten, apparently.
I guess not. I wonder if UCLA's happy with the payday they got from the Big Ten or not.
Well said. Well said.
Yeah.
We all know, but, do we not? That's why they joined the Big Ten. It was for the payday. They made the decision. So don't gripe about it.
Yeah, I get it. Like, that wasn't his decision to be made. But there's something to be said about it. I mean, I've traveled time zones, and it's a pain in the butt, especially when you're depending on what game time is, adjusting to a different schedule. Maybe you look at college and professional athletics, like, they're so routine specific that oftentimes you'll adjust practice time so that your body gets used to practicing or being ready to compete at a certain time window. Mm-hmm. And so that can be thrown off depending if you're playing an 11 o'clock game, a night game, and what time zone you're in, and then your sleep schedule related to that. So I totally get it. But at the end of the day, like, that's the card you're dealt. Mm-hmm. Let's make the most of it. You know, that's my perspective from an outsider. It's like, okay, you're in the Big Ten. The decision's been made. You know, this is the hand we're dealt. How can you change things for your team to maximize those opportunities?
Yeah. No, I think that's a great perspective, and I'm happy to hear from a person who's done it, who's played both in college and professionally and done those time zones. So you're saying there's something to it, so I guess maybe time to give Coach Cronin a little bit of a break. Also, a shout-out to Rich listening on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. He says, I'm sorry to correct you, Todd, but three or four times you said the Phillies instead of the Eagles. Once I would have let it go, Rich in Rapids. Rich, thank you. Brady, how can you let me do? I see. I'm so looking forward to baseball. I got my mind on baseball teams instead of the NFL. So thank you. I apologize, Rich. Yes, it's the Philadelphia Eagles, Todd. Good Lord.
Well, you also threw out the Dirty Birds, which I with my history with Atlanta Falcons, that's what they call themselves down there, the Dirty Birds. So you caught me off guard a little with that one, but you only said it once. So
all right, fine. I get a pass because I only called them once. Speaking of men's basketball, the Badgers back in action this Sunday. Nebraska comes to town, 11 a.m. broadcast in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids. Speaking thereof, Kenosha Racine in our hometown on Richland Center. You could also listen to that game for free on the Civic Media app. Matt LaPace kicks things off for the broadcast at 11 o'clock. Brady, Connor Asijan coming back to the Kohl Center. It could be very interesting there, right?
Absolutely. Excited to see that. I think they lost to Nebraska last time they played, if I remember right.
I believe so. We didn't get to it, but do you rabbit hunt, Brady?
Not a ton recently. I have in the past, but not recently.
Really? All right, next time, rabbit hunting with Brady. Thank you, my friend Brady Ewing. Stay tuned.
Thanks,
What's
man.
Worse is next. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Balls Show on Civic Media.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
It is the weekend. That means coming up on the show, we'll break down all the news that you might have missed and wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Earl Ingram.
Is there an absolute right and wrong in things and in society?
Sure.
So somebody on the other side is clearly supporting something that is wrong, and I'm supposed to...
Well, it's a two-way street. I think if we all would become open to talk and dialogue, we could get somewhere. The space between you can only be bridged by trying to understand what it is the other person is thinking and why.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. On his first trip since taking office, President Trump visiting areas of North Carolina still recovering from Hurricane Helene. The president then heads to Los Angeles this afternoon to get briefed on wildfires.
It'll be a quick visit in the fire zone for President Trump, less than 2 hours in the Pacific Palisades fire area and 3 hours on the ground in L.A. overall before President Trump leaves on Air Force One. But during his stop here, the White House saying he'll meet with first responders, fire victims, and political leaders. One leader apparently excluded by the White House is Governor Gavin Newsom, a political foe. It's unclear if Newsom will try to attend any of the events.
ABC's Alex Stone, the president hinting that he may work to eliminate FEMA and how it responds to disasters. The annual National Right to Life March taking place in Washington, D.C. today. Vice President J.D. Vance among those speaking. A full confirmation vote set for tonight for Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth. Republicans can only lose 3 votes without Democratic support. This is ABC News.